Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this service. Unfortunately, our deemed good pastor, Nigel, is sick. He has an influenza, I think it's A or B, one of those. And so he's not here today. And so we're blessed to have a man like Vic Walter, who's going to deliver a sermon to us today and conduct our communion. For visitors, I'm John Garrett, and you are very welcome to be here today. We really hope that you'll be blessed having a worship service with us, and we are also delighted to have the Tories singers, Andrew and Fiona, so thank you for that. There's a couple of little things we've got to mention. Yesterday we ran a barbecue at Bunnings, and because we're a bit short, I managed to give up golf and went along and was a cook, and they put the oldest, slowest bloke on the busiest type of barbecue, and I was struggling all day, but I had to have a lie down when I got home. But it was very successful, and we've got to thank our deemed chair, Mark, for getting it pretty well organised. We ran out of sausages a couple of times, so we had to go purchase locally, and we went through 30 loaves of bread, and we made a profit of $1,250. So thanks to all the volunteers. Mary was pretty involved in that because proceeds go to loaves and fishes. So hopefully it'll be spread out with food and that to give to the local people who are a little underprivileged in our community. The other thing I want to mention is that we've been selling some wine. I always think of Jesus' first miracle, actually, when I talk about wine. And it's been very successful too. Thank you to John Schultz and Tim Prance for getting pretty well organised on it. But we must thank Helen Wurst and Graham for their sourcing the wine, I think, from the Lime Coast area. And their son is a winemaker down there. So we're very blessed and fortunate to get this wine. I've sold a few boxes to a couple of golfing mates, and I'm waiting for, because they're wine connoisseurs, and I'm waiting for the results. But they came back with a big tick. They said this wine is a very good wine for value. So the boxes are flying out the door. So if you want some, you better check out with John Schultz about it. So we're very thankful for that. And I think we've covered the cost, and we're now into the profit department. So all these funds make a cover our costs. As you know, inflation's hitting us a bit, and the church is not exempt from that. The thing is that the wine, I always think the label has got our 40th anniversary and the Lutheran wine. I got a text from a bloke said I'm drinking the Lutheran wine today. So it's kind of advertising our church a little bit too. The other thing is that this week is marriage week from the 10th to the 16th of September. So we ask for God's blessings on all of your marriages here and partnerships. And we ask and we trust that they're blessed. I was just thinking about the wine again. The worst for a while, I think they're up the Flinders enjoying a camper holiday in the wind and the cold. That must be good. That would test their marriage, I imagine. Also, next week is Messy Church, so there's another event that we'll have here in our church. So we've got things happening around here that are really great. Any other messages, you need to get hold of the community news. And I just want to make a special welcome for, I just noticed, the Strangers are back and one in a wheelchair. So good to see that you're still wheeling on up on the ground, up top, not down below. So could be dangerous, I suppose. So Now we will commence the service in the name, and as we pray, just think of Nigel and Amelia who are suffering there, and have our hearts and our prayers for them. Loving God, bind us together as a community of faith. Help us to deepen our knowledge of your will for us and all people. You are the core of our being, the centre of our lives. Enable us to open our inner selves to the guidance of your Spirit, and help us to discern the depths of the mysteries that reside in your being. Glorious God, lead us, we pray. Amen. And now we will sing Change My Heart, O God. Readings today. First one from James chapter 3 talks about taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire in hell, by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's image, in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be.
Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Mark chapter 8, and Christ speaks about his suffering and dying. Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
We pray for the offering. Loving God, we thank you for giving up your Son for us. Help us to follow his way of obedience and self-sacrifice, willingly serving you and other people. Amen. And now I welcome Vic to the lectern. May the Spirit of the Lord be with you while you deliver the sermon.
The LCA provides this sermon edited by for lay reading, and we give thanks to the original author. And the message is based on the Mark Bible reading that Pastor Lyle read to us, Mark 8, 27 to 38. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. If I were to walk down the street and ask the question, who is Jesus? I'm sure I'd get all types of answers. Some won't know much about him. Some will be angry about all the wrong things which have been done in Jesus' name. Some only know him as a swear word, while others might speak more favourably about him. You'd think within Christian circles, such as if I were to walk up and down the aisles here and ask each of you the same question about who Jesus is, that I'd get a consistent answer. But this probably wouldn't be true. You see, for some Christians, and in some Christian circles, such as if I would... Oh, no, I read that bit. You see, for some Christians, Jesus is the best to go to guy for advice. For others, he's the one you go to in order to get fixed or healed or made whole. Some think he's the one to go to in order to get some good news so that you can feel good about yourself. For others, he's a friend you can always turn to because he promises to always be there for you. Some think he's a holy man, a spiritual guru, a loving shepherd for wayward sheep, or a teacher. Some might look to him as their ethical and moral compass and try to copy or emulate his example. Others reckon he's their king, their saviour, their champion. He's also a forgiver, a cleanser, a redeemer. He's the one you want to be on your side. Now, there's truth in each of these descriptions, but that's not what Jesus tells us about himself today. And if we really want to know who Jesus is, then we should take notice of what he says about himself. So, who is Jesus according to Jesus? Well, right after Peter's bold confession that Jesus is the Christ, which meant he's the promised Messiah whom the whole Jewish nation has been waiting for many generations, Jesus boldly told them he's going to suffer, be rejected by religious leaders, be killed, and then rise again. So, according to Jesus' own words, who is Jesus? He's one who suffered. He's one who is abused and persecuted. He's one who is abandoned and insulted. He's one who is betrayed, scorned and discarded by people who confess faith in God. He is also a victim of horrific cruelty and death despite his innocence. He's also one who will live again after dying. We have a symbol in many churches which reflects this particular picture of Jesus. It's called a crucifix, which depicts Jesus' own description of him suffering and dying for us on the cross. When you look at the crucifix, it's not the usual picture of strength or power or might or glory. It's not a picture which sits comfortably in a world where children are taught to look to and emulate the mighty heroes of Harry Potter, Marvel Studios, Star Wars, and even Disney. Jesus on the cross is not cute, cuddly, attractive, or even acceptable in a politically correct world. Yet, this is who Jesus says he is. He's one who cares so much for us. He willingly suffers and dies for us. But if this is who Jesus is, then he's hardly the type of person we want to follow or want our children to follow, especially if we want to be successful, popular, or attractive according to the world's standards. To follow someone who suffers for the sake of others, allows people to abuse him, doesn't retaliate when people are violent or lying about him, and he will even lay down his life so that criminals can receive pardon and freedom, well, that doesn't sound like someone most people would want to follow. So it's no wonder Peter attempts to tell Jesus off. After all, Peter's already abandoned his fishing career to follow Jesus, and this is what is in store for him. Peter doesn't want to follow a loser. In the same way, we don't want to follow a loser either. But this is who Jesus is, a loser. Jesus is the one who loses face. Jesus is the one who loses dignity and the one who loses his life. And he loses all these things for our sake. But what's more, if we want to follow him, then that's what we're also going to be in the eyes of most people, a loser. Because the followers of Jesus will also deny their own selfish instincts in order to put other people first, like Jesus did. It's no accident this text sits right in the middle of Mark's gospel account of Jesus' life. Right in the middle. It's the key to understanding who Jesus is, what it means for us in our life of faith. The uncomfortable question is, if this is who Jesus is and what he expects of us, because he also expects us to not deny ourselves and our own desires for the sake of others, then do we follow him or not? He tells his followers to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow him. And this isn't easy. Thinking about each of these things in turn, to deny ourselves is to deny our own selfish human nature. After all, most of what we do is all about ourselves. Why do we have arguments at school or at home? Because each person is trying to get what they want for themselves. Why do children throw tantrums? Because they want to get something for themselves. Why do we have political games? Because people are trying to save or improve their own position. Why do we have road rage? because people are angry they didn't get their own right of way. It is human nature to want to impose ourselves and our own wants and desires on each other, as if I'm the God you should obey. Jesus' answer to our human problem of selfishness is his own selflessness. Everything he did was never for himself. Because he loves us all so much, he suffered and died for us to take the punishment for our selfishness. He paid the price so that we would be forgiven and no longer need to make up for all the times we hurt him or those around us as a result of our own self-centeredness. When he tells his followers to deny themselves, he called us to love those around us more than we love ourselves. This doesn't mean we always give them what they want, because that would only encourage them to become more selfish and self-centered. But instead, we're willing to serve them with what they need: love, forgiveness, compassion, and a justice which mirrors the life of Jesus. When one becomes a follower of Jesus who denies oneself and their own egocentric desires, it will mean the sacrificing of some of our own things for the sake of others. In this case, we don't need to hang on the cross like Jesus did, but as we learn to love others more than ourselves, because this is what Jesus does for us, then it will feel as if part of our own selfish nature is suffering and dying for the sake of someone else. In daily life, this might happen when children help their parents with family duties, rather than going off to play their favourite game, or parents helping their children with homework instead of watching their favourite television program. Or as people choose not to punish someone for the pain they've caused them and instead forgive them. We'll experience persecution from our own family members when we choose to follow Jesus by attending worship services when we, or they, would rather be somewhere else. We'll feel as if part of us is dying when we put our own selfish desires to death for the sake of those around us. While many people will have their own ideas and pictures of who Jesus is and what he does, what Jesus describes to us today about himself is one of the most shocking and disturbing. On the other hand, it's also Jesus at his most loving, as he sacrifices himself for us so we may all receive God's radical justice of forgiveness, life, and salvation. He does all this not because any of us deserve it, but because this is who he is: loving, faithful, patient, compassionate, and selfless. What a selfish and uncaring world needs right now isn't more self-centeredness or even more laws to restrict people's egocentricity, but it needs more followers of Jesus who will love and care and serve others selflessly like he did. Jesus tells us what it cost him to love us so selflessly. The twist is to accept his love, trust him in return, and to love others as yourself. Will also come at a cost to us as we follow him into his life of selflessness. This is because the more we get to know the nature and work of Jesus, the more we will get to know our own nature and the nature of those around us. But as we learn to trust the words and work of Jesus, as we bathe in his baptismal waters and receive his holy body and blood in the Lord's Supper, his own nature will rub off on us and help us to be selfless as well. So, as we take up our cross to follow Jesus, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in the sacrificial love of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please join me as a community as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we are amazed at the diversity of your good creation among us. Give us joy as we recognise you in each other. Lead us to cherish and celebrate our life together. We praise you for your good and perfect law. We thank you that through Jesus' death and resurrection, you have given us the righteousness of Christ so that we can uphold your law and be forgiven when we fail. Help each of us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Correct us when we're in error, and empower us to speak with grace and truth to others, seeing each other as you see us, forgiven children of God. Dear Lord, thank you for the promise of your presence in all the turmoil and struggles that occur in our lives. Just as the Israelites were not spared the wilderness wanderings or the desolation and confusion of exile, and just as the early Christians suffered so much for their faith in you, neither are we protected from today's social upheavals. Lead us, sustain us, and encourage us. Bless us in our quiet times as we meditate on your life-giving word. Give us your wisdom and grace in all we undertake. God of loving mercy, hear the prayers we bring this day and those that go unsaid. Hear our prayers for the peace of the world, peace between nations and people who are in conflict. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. We pray that people will learn to look past those things that divide us and embrace equality and justice in all. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. We pray for those places where freedom is denied and violence is a daily occurrence. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. We pray for our own nation, hoping that we will find the way to live out those values that reflect your will and the teachings of Christ. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. We pray for religious tolerance that we might see the value in what one another believes without criticism. We pray for Anna and Pastor as they prepare to attend Synod and the Pastors' Conference. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. We pray for all families. There may be an end to domestic violence. May all children grow in the security of being loved. May parents be secure enough to act always with kindness. Lord, we seek your blessing on all marriages. Let there be love, respect, and you at the centre of the family life. We give you thanks for the blessings of the fundraiser sausage sizzle yesterday and the funds raised to support our loaves and fishes ministry. We seek your blessing on Messy Church next Sunday at Encounter College, the Block 69, as we explore your word about God's creation is not messy. Bless the families that come and the volunteers. Lord, go before us. We offer our prayers in the name of Christ. Amen. And now please join me as we say the Lord's Prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We'll just spend a moment being put right with God before we have Holy Communion. In the presence of Almighty God who searches the heart, do you confess that you don't always fully rely on God as you should?
I do.
Do you acknowledge that you can at times be ungrateful, taking for granted the many blessings that come from your way, from the hands of others, and from God Himself?
I do.
Do you even get so absorbed in your own little world that you pretend God's absence rather than remembering His presence?
I do.
Do you believe within your heart, somewhere deep within, that Jesus Christ has completely accounted for your ingratitude and continues to love you no matter what, so that you can be forgiven for absolutely anything in His name?
I do.
With the help of the Holy Spirit, would you like to live as God would have you live, loving others as He has loved you?
I do.
We'll have a moment of silent prayer. Our Heavenly Father has promised forgiveness to all who turn to Him in faith. Let that promise sink in. We are forgiven. God has pardoned us. Because of Jesus, we are free from all that would separate us from God's love. Amen. And we have a prayer leading into Holy Communion. God of love, we come before you in adoration and praise. We thank you for your invitation to receive of this sacred meal. Thank you that no one is outside of your welcome. Not a single person need be cut off from the blessings that you rain down on us. For blessings, for love, for grace, and for hope, we give you our thanks. Amen. And it's my privilege to lead in communion today as I've been licensed to lead public communion, as John Garrett and myself have been licensed a few years ago. And so it's my privilege to lead in public communion today. So the words of Jesus at the Last Supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. After the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as we come to the Lord's table and make the death and resurrection of Jesus our own by sharing in the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we become together the living body of Christ. There are gluten-free bread wafers available should you need this. The wine and juice are available on the table in individual cups. And people who do not wish to partake of the bread or the wine, for whatever reason, are still welcome to come forward and receive a blessing. And the tradition has that you indicate by putting your arms across your chest to demonstrate that you would just like a blessing. And the ushers will indicate each row to come forward. So could the helpers please come forward? Thou art the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life eternal. Amen. And let us pray. Jesus the Christ, we thank you that you obediently suffered and died to give us life, the life that we have again received in this sacrament. Strengthen us to carry out our cross and willingly to go where you lead us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favour and give us peace. Amen. And we stand for our last song, I Am Who You Say I Am. Thank you, Tora and the others.
Well, that basically concludes our service today. I'd like to thank the musicians, the people at the back, and anybody else who was responsible for making this service quite a good one. Will, Red, Vic, thank you. And I imagine Nigel's looking on the live stream, and I'm waiting for marks out of 10 from him.
Yeah,
There's prayer today. Di Welk will be looking for prayer. If anybody needs prayer, Di's the lady to look for. There's coffee and bread out the back, and there's a mobile coffee machine there for the lattes, etc. And for visitors here today, and I believe there's a couple, don't forget to sign off in this visitor's book. We like to see a record of your attendance here, so we might remember your name when you come back again. Now I'd like to send you all out with another blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And go in peace.